Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will discuss the emerging science of nutrigenomics and how the study of nutritional science relates to the effects of foods and food constituents on gene expression. Our featured guest is lifestyle medicine and nutrition expert, Dr. Wes Youngberg. Dr. Youngberg will tell us about this new exciting field in science and its potential to improve your personal health and longevity. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, greater fruit and vegetable intake is associated with increased survival over a 13-year period. An article published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition reveals an association between increased vegetable and fruit intake and a lower risk of dying during the 13-year period follow-up. The analysis included 38,221 participants in a study of Swedish men who were recruited between 1997 and 1998 and 33,485 women recruited from 1987 to 1990 to participate in the Swedish mammography cohort study. Questionnaires completed upon enrollment provided data concerning diet over a previous year, alcohol intake, and other lifestyle factors. From the beginning of 1998 through 2010, 6,803 men and 4,637 women died. In comparison with subjects who consumed the recommended 5 servings of fruit and vegetables per day, those who did not consume fruit or vegetables had a 53% greater risk of dying. As fruit and vegetable intake increased, the risk of mortality in comparison with consuming 5 per day declined. No additional benefit was observed for an intake greater than 5 fruits or vegetables daily in the study. When fruit and vegetable intake were analyzed separately, those who consumed no fruit lived on average 19 months less than the subjects who consumed 1 fruit per day, and those who reported eating 3 or more servings of vegetables per day survived an average of 32 months longer than those who don't consume them. Research has mainly focused on the association between fruit and vegetable consumption and specific major chronic diseases such as cardiovascular disease and other different types of cancer. However, the study of the association of daily fruit and vegetable consumption with overall mortality represents a primary and basic tool to explore its effects on health as a whole and needs to be kept in consideration while providing dietary recommendations. Here's another study that shows that people obese their whole lives may have higher risk of heart disease. It may not be just how many extra pounds of obese you carry. It may also be how long a person has been obese that affects the heart, according to U.S. researchers. The National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, said an analysis of data of 3,300 people over a 25-year period found subclinical heart disease, such as building up of fats inside arteries, starting in young adulthood. With about every additional year of obesity, the risk of developing subclinical coronary heart disease increased by 2% to 4%. The risk compounds, each year's additional risk builds up the base of the previous years. Controlling weight early in adulthood could have big benefits later. The study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is soy a good protein source? Yes, soy is a good protein source. Experiments in Boston, Massachusetts with young college students who were fed diets containing different protein sources showed that soy protein is of high nutritional quality and is capable of providing adequate amounts of all essential amino acids. It was clear that the quality of soy protein compared favorably to animal proteins, and soy does not have to be supplemented or complemented with any other type of plant protein. In addition, soy protein contains the isoflavonoid genistein and similar substances that act as phytoestrogens to inhibit tumor growth, lower blood cholesterol levels, decrease the risk of blood clots, and diminish bone loss. This translates into lower risk of heart disease, stroke, cancer, and osteoporosis. Consuming one or two servings of soy products a day will help you achieve the optimal benefits.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our special guest today on Health and Longevity is Dr. Wes Youngberg. Dr. Youngberg trained at Loma Linda University, where he earned a doctorate of public health degree in clinical preventive care and a master's of public health degree in nutrition. He is an assistant clinical professor for the Loma Linda University Schools of Medicine and Public Health. He is also a certified nutrition specialist and a founding director and fellow of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. Dr. Youngberg has more than 20 years of clinical experience using integrative lifestyle therapies for diabetes control, depression recovery, cardiovascular disease reversal, and effective management of many chronic health conditions. He currently sees patients at the Youngberg Lifestyle Medicine Clinic in Temecula, California. Well, Dr. Youngberg, thank you for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
And Dr. Westerdahl, it's great to be on with you again.
Well, we're going to talk today about nutrigenomics, that new science that a lot of people are quite interested in today. And I know that when you were studying, and all of us were really studying the preventive care specialties in graduate schools and so forth, people were taught at that time that genetic risk factors were really unmodifiable. There's nothing you could really do about it. So have we learned since then about studying genes?
Yeah, you know, it's like, who would want to know about their genes if you really can't do anything about it?
That's
right. It creates an additional level of stress in our lives. And so I think that's the biggest issue, is helping people become aware that these genetic risk factors are, in fact, modifiable. We can't actually change the fact that we have gene mutations or that we have genes that could potentially lead to problems. But what we can do is we can actually turn down the effect of that gene that could do bad things in our body. And we can also potentially do what we call the nutrigenomic bypass, where we have obvious bad mutations. We can actually bypass that and therefore neutralize the negative influence of that mutation.
Well, let's talk about here what has changed in our views, and I guess that's what the change has been as far as our work and understanding of genes. And we talk about nutrigenomics, which we're going to be talking about today. Let's get with the basics, first of all, for those that haven't heard of it. What actually is nutrigenomics?
Well, nutrigenomics is the new science of applying nutritional principles to what we now understand about genes and how the genes work. The key issue is to understand that genes in of themselves do not determine our health. They influence our health. They basically create a scenario where certain things can happen if those genes are activated. But see, these genes can be turned off or they can be turned on. And what determines that is our choices, what we do, what we allow ourselves to be exposed to, the environment that we live in, how we handle stress in our lives. All these factors influence the genetic expression, and that's what we refer to as epigenetics, the influence of the genetic information and how that turns on these specific genes or turns them off. But nutrigenomics is also looking at where our gene mutations are in these biochemical pathways and how we can do an end around. Essentially, we can do a fix around and basically create a nutritional bypass of that mutation. John, I just had a patient in my office just a few minutes ago who had a history of depression, struggling with her weight. She says, you know, I've been careful with my diet all summer and I'm struggling. I think I've gained 3 pounds. And, you know, she was really concerned. And so I had recently tested a gene called methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. The simple acronym for that is MTHFR. Now, this gene is the first major breakthrough of the Human Genome Project. And I wanted to see if she had a mutation to that gene that was predisposing her to depression, to horrible varicose veins, et cetera. And what I found was that she actually had the worst combination mutation that she could have. She has what we call the compound heterozygous form of MTHFR, which means that she has a 90% defect in her ability to activate the vitamin folate. So she can take all the folic acid supplementally, or she can eat diet rich in folate, and still she can't convert it to the activated form. And that's one of the things that is genetically creating a major metabolic breakdown in her body. But now we can actually bypass that by giving her methylated folate. Now, there's all kinds of genes like that that we can test to figure out how we can specifically individualize medical care for that individual. And that's what has brought us into this new age of personalized care.
Interesting.
No longer do we need to rely on statistics to determine what kind of medication or what type of approach we should take with a patient. We can actually go to the very source of health, which is the genes.
Well, give me an example of how bad gene mutations can be neutralized.
Oh, wow. You know, a couple years ago, there was a group of scientists who got together and did an amazing study. They took a group of mice who had Werner's syndrome. Now, Werner's syndrome occurs in animals, but also in humans. And this is what we call rapid aging disease. And so an individual with Werner's syndrome would start to show signs of aging even in their late teens or early 20s. They, by the time they're 25, they might look like they're, you know, 50 or 60. And it's just really sad. I had an acquaintance of mine in college, very good-looking young man who actually had one of these rapid aging diseases. And within 6-7 years of me first meeting him when he was a freshman in college, he was in a wheelchair and decrepit. So it's a very serious condition. Well, what happened in this study is they took this group of mice with Werner's syndrome and randomly divided them into two groups. One of the groups received water that had vitamin C added.
Okay.
Just simple vitamin C. Now, what was so fascinating was that these mutant mice with Werner's syndrome, when they got the vitamin C and had it daily, it completely neutralized the effect of that gene mutation, such that instead of getting fat and becoming diabetic and dying of cancer early on, they actually lost weight, and they lived as healthily and as long as the mice who did not have that genetic mutation. And the researchers published in a major scientific journal, they said, you know, this is amazing that just a simple nutrient could bypass that major gene mutation. So the key is that we need to pay more attention not only to what mutations we carry, because Dr. Westerdahl, we all have mutations.
Right.
But we also need to pay attention to the very specific nutritional and other lifestyle factors that can neutralize those mutations and allow us to lead healthy, long lives.
Now, tell us, how do genes affect mood and behavior? Because there's some work going on in that.
Oh, absolutely. There's an interesting discussion with regards to genetics that asks the question, do you have the warrior gene or do you have the worrier gene? And so we can actually test these genes to see if we have a genetic predisposition towards impulsive and aggressive action. And that's the warrior gene. And some of those genes are called COMT. There's also the MAOA genes that are associated with more of an impulsive, aggressive approach to life. And then the worrier gene, which is genes that make that we're more likely to be depressed or anxious. And again, each of these genes can be nutritionally modified, so they start working the way nature and God originally intended them to act, and therefore normalize that function.
Hmm. Well, several years ago, we heard about the Human Genome Project, and maybe you could refresh us a little bit about what happened during that project.
There was two major groups that were competing to try to finalize the complete decoding of the human genome, basically decoding every single gene in the body.
Right.
And you know, 20 years ago, scientists, even the most brilliant scientists, scoffed at the idea that something like this could ever happen.
Right.
But in 2003, these researchers completed the complete mapping of the entire human genome. And so we have now been ushered into a whole new era of healthcare and medical science that is providing researchers and health professionals and patients alike access to a whole new world. I told this patient that I referred to earlier just an hour ago, I told her, I says, you know, a couple years ago, we didn't have this information. Now we know where your genetic mutation is and how, you know, she has this 90% defect in this methylfolate pathway. We can fix that by providing her the endpoint nutrient that bypasses that mutation. And so this is, by the way, the very first and most major breakthrough that has come in the last 10 years from the Human Genome Project. And so that's why I tell people, do you want to participate in knowing the most important breakthrough genetically in the last 10 years? And so that's why I recommend everybody is tested for this MTHFR mutation.
That's great. Now, let's look at epigenetics. What is that epigenetics, and how does that influence how our genes work?
Well, this is an opportunity for us, no matter what genes we have inherited, we have an opportunity to modify the way those genes work. And so epigenetics is essentially the science of how to modify our genes, how to modify the way the genes are expressed. And so an example of that was what I mentioned with the Werner syndrome mice, is that just simply getting more antioxidants into their diet, in this case in the form of vitamin C, dramatically altered the expression of that gene, so it essentially neutralized the fact that they had that mutation. It made that mutation of no effect on their ultimate health. And so there's many examples of how we do that. That's why we know if we're feeling a little blue, a little moody, going outside into the sunshine can actually erase that blue or depressed feeling. Well, that's not just, you know, all in our head. That's an actual physiologic biochemical change that is literally transforming the biochemical pathways that are promoting depression into overriding those and promoting pathways that promote the good feeling and joy that come from being in sunlight. Okay, and of course, part of that relates to the vitamin D, but it also relates to bright light and many other benefits that are actually changing the way genes express themselves.
Now, when you look at identical twins and who have identical genes, can they have very different gene effects?
Oh, yeah, that's a great example that researchers have been taking advantage of gene study or twin studies to see the real impact of lifestyle or other factors besides the genetic one. And so there's many examples of identical twins, one of which is perfectly healthy and the other one has a terminal illness. What made the difference? Well, it's clearly not genetic, okay? It has to do with the way the gene was expressed. And so I was just telling my son, who just turned 20, and we went out to eat last night, and I said, you know, just be aware that the choices that you're making right now are going to influence the health of your children. So it's not just your genes that you engender or donate to your children that influence their health. It's the actual expression of your gene that is also transferred from parent to child. So how we have lived our lives since the time we were born have potentially even more influence on our future health than the genes themselves do, because they can promote the turning on or the turning off of the good or bad genes. And so I was encouraging my son. I said, make sure that the choices that you make now are good choices. It's not just influencing you. It's also influencing your very children's future.
Well, in an effort to improve our health, what are some things that we can do to kind of manage our genes before they take control and manage us as far as our health outcomes are?
Right. Well, there are so many things that we can do to manage our genes. In fact, that's where, you know, the field of preventive care and lifestyle medicine excel, because all these wellness activities that we've been hearing about and studies have been looking at them for many decades now, they're essentially representing ways to manage our genes. And so it reminds me of what God said to Cain after he had not followed his instructions on how to worship him. And God said, be careful. Sin is crouching at the door. It says, you must learn to manage this. In other words, manage your temper. You have to learn to manage your health. We have control over our genes a lot more than we used to believe. And so through healthy choices, we can actually make the difference between having a good long life or a very diseased, dysfunctional life.
All right. Now, if we were to have, let's say, detective genes and then trying to find ways to fix these genes that are, we may be having problems, how do we go about doing that?
Well, that's where testing comes in. You know, we now have access to a common blood test like the MTHFR. Any doctor can order that. Cardiologists have learned that this is an important gene in the regulation of circulatory disorders, blood clotting, elevated homocysteine levels, very strongly associated with mutations to the MTHFR gene. And so because of that, it's a test that's available for anybody to have done. And you can also have it done through clinics that have special contracts with labs as under $150. So the key, though, is to test broadly for these genes. And one option that I've been recommending to many of my patients is called 23andMe, something that you can just look up on the internet, just the numbers 23, and then A-N-D and me. And look that up, and you can actually order this entire set of genes and through a saliva test, and it's only $99. About 4 years ago, a Harvard professor got a $40,000 grant to do a similar test. And now it's available for $99.
Well, this is a test that you're using in your clinic now?
Yes. I just tell you, people don't have to order it through me. They can just go online and order a kit and provide a saliva sample and send it back. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks to get the results back. Then I sit down with them and I go over that data to help them now apply nutrigenomics, how to use nutrition, how to use lifestyle to actually change the way those negative genes or gene mutations are working.
Well, you know, we're coming to the end here, and this is such a fascinating topic. We can talk hours about it. And I know you are specializing more in this area now as you expand your work in lifestyle medicine and nutrition. For those that would like to get more information about nutrigenomics and some of the things we talked about today, how do they find out more about what you're doing?
Well, I actually have several studies on nutrigenomics on my website.
Okay.
That's dryoungberg.com or dryoungberg.com. And that includes some of the studies done by Dr. Dean Ornish looking at basically epigenetic transformation of patients with prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But this really applies to any condition. We can epigenetically, nutrigenomically bypass these mutations and these bad genes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngberg, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Westerdahl.
Okay. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Now, some of our listeners have said that they have missed a show or would like to re-listen to a previous show of Health and Longevity. And if you would like to listen to past shows, go to our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. Again, you go to healthandlongevityradio.com.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's it for this week's program. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.